Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's good to be back. We had to come back. People are worried. I got a message from a listener, and he said, Doug, the last time you took more than 2 weeks off, the government was seized by a criminally insane sex cult. They locked down the world, and please, where are you? And so we're back. We're back and ready to go. We don't want to see anything untoward intervene because we've left the scene. And so we just don't want to feel like we're responsible for the further collapse of Western civilization anyway. So it's good to be back. We're glad to have you back. And let's start with aliens. That's right. Aliens, because we don't want to start on a down note, we want to start on an up note. UFOs are real, and Americans deserve to know the truth, says the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal? Well, I'm glad I don't take a lot of investment advice from the Wall Street Journal. Oh, no, that's according to a former government and military officials, plural, more than one. Okay, that's what they told a congressional panel, former government and military officials. So they put that, so that's supposed to give them credibility, by the way. Former government and military officials. These people were official. And they told a congressional panel that we deserve to know the truth about UFOs. We have a quote from a retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral. That's like a general. That's very official. That's highly credible. This guy actually told ships where to go at some point in his career. Retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet says he saw a video of an inexplicable flying object nearly a decade ago. And he says, quote, we should not turn a blind eye, but boldly face this new reality. So for him, it's a new reality, the UFOs. He saw this a decade ago, and now he gets to testify. I wonder if he's got a book coming out. Maybe he does lectures, possibly. The hearing at the House of Representatives during the month of November was the latest in Congress's push for transparency around UFOs. And that doesn't mean they're trying to make it like shiny, like you can see through space into heaven around the UFOs. They want transparency around the subject of UFOs. Although if they could have the other, they would take that because for whatever reason, they're very interested in UFOs. Back in 2022, you may remember, Congress held its first hearing on UFOs because by 2022, the criminally insane sex cult had firmly seated in power and began to behave in a deranged manner, as you can expect they would. They held hearings on what they now call unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP. UAP. They changed the name. It's sort of like what they did with the coronavirus when they changed it to COVID. You knew something bad was happening. Now that they've changed UFOs to UAPs, it opens me up to the question, will it be the UAPs and the aliens that prevent Donald Trump from taking office? I know, it seems like I'm maybe paranoid thinking that Donald Trump will not be allowed to take office. But I still feel that way. And I feel like we're in this surreal moment in time. It just feels surreal and strange, like the other shoe is hanging over our head, waiting to drop, and it's a boot. But I'm probably paranoid, and everything's going to be fine, you know. And the aliens, they'll be friendly when they show up. So all's okay on that front. Let's see. From there we go. Did anyone notice the number of food recalls back during the month of November. Let's do this before we get to the Bible headline. So I've got a story from November 11th. Costco recalls 80,000 pounds of butter. Wait a minute, though. This wasn't related to anything having to do with Listeria or E. coli or Ebola or whatever might be in the food. The FDA sent out a recall for about 80,000 pounds of Kirkland Signature butter because the butter failed. Well, it listed cream as an ingredient, but failed to warn that butter contains milk. And so news articles, there were news articles everywhere on the story. The story made the wire everywhere, at least on the conservative news aggregators. And there were articles about so people were making fun of it. But in the mainstream media, there were news articles telling people how they can return or safely dispose of the butter. First, put on a mask. If you think you might have the butter, mask up. And then you put the butter into a sealed container and then have that container incinerated at a local federally approved incineration. Now, maybe it's not that bad, but anyway, butter, we're reminded by the New York Post, is low in lactose, but people allergic to milk are likely to have a bad reaction to it, whatever that means. So that means you're probably not going to die. You can maybe take the mask off. At least take the respirator off and just keep the K95, N95 theirs. Milk, they say, accounts for some of the most serious allergic reactions in the United States. That's a meaningless statement. It has no meaning. The FDA did not say if there have been any... No, they say the FDA did not say if there has been any illnesses or adverse reactions. The FDA did not say if there has been. So the journalist, the New York Post needs to hire new editors, maybe new journalists. Maybe that's one thing that MAGA will bring. Maybe that'll bring back editors and journalists who can read and write English. Anyway. Idiot reporting on idiot, tyrannical politicians by idiot journalists. And of course, this, I ask, can Doge make the difference? Is it Doge? How are we supposed to pronounce the Department of Governmental Efficiency? Is it Doge? Because he has a coin named Doge. Not that that has anything to do with anything, having to do with anything to do with any of this. But can the Doge make a difference? And is it a coincidence that two tech billionaires named their new bureaucracy after one of the billionaires' crypto coins? Or that's just happenstance. Doge, Doge, Dodge. They don't want to call it Dodge. That wouldn't work. Well, we'll return to some of that because we'll be talking about Elon Musk and who's the other? Vivek Ramaswamy. We'll return to some of that. But let's get to the recalls. From the widespread panic file, 167,000 pounds of beef that was shipped nationwide, I said, has been urgently recalled. Not just recalled, but urgently recalled in a high-priority food recall. The Food Safety Inspection Service of the Department of Agriculture. Doge needs to look at that. The fact that we have a inspection service department inside a department. Do we really need that? Okay, well, anyway, they inspected to some degree almost 200,000 pounds of ground beef. And CBS is reporting that 11 people were sickened. And they ate at two particular restaurants in Minneapolis. E. coli, they suspect. E. coli. And CBS tells us that E. coli symptoms include dehydration, bloody diarrhea, abdominal cramps that can last for days. And according to Forbes, the strain of E. coli found in one company's particular products is the same one found in October, back in October, in onions that were used in McDonald's quarter pounders. And to that, I have to say, really? Do you expect me to believe that the Food Safety Inspection Service of the Department of Agriculture is able to match strains of E. coli between quarter pounders and ground beef. I'm just sorry. Color me skeptical. I would have to see more evidence than just a line of type in Forbes magazine. That's all. I'm just saying I don't believe you people, okay? Let's see here. The company, that I'm not going to name the company because there's no real evidence they've done anything wrong or that there's any E. coli anywhere in anything, except that some bureaucrats at the Food Safety Inspection Service of the Department of Communist Agriculture and Tyrannical Insanity says that this company might have gave some people some cramps and maybe a little bit of gas. The company, though, says it's working closely with federal food safety agencies because the company is forced to automatically bow before the federal Leviathan that could choke them out of business. So naturally, they say, we're working closely as we can. Thank you, sir. May I have another? In 2014, the same company was forced to recall almost 2 million pounds of ground beef with potential E. coli after 11 people became sick. Really? 2 million pounds of ground beef because 11 people got gas? Maybe they had diarrhea. Okay. That was November 22nd. The same day, CBS News reports organic carrots and celery being recalled due to a deadly E. coli outbreak. Deadly, they say. Stricken 39 people in 18 states. Oh, no. Will any of us survive? It's widespread. Federal officials were investigating the E. coli outbreak, which CBS reports has killed one person and led to at least 15 people being hospitalized. Now, you notice they didn't use the word allegedly. Had someone at this company walked in and shot the place up, they would say he allegedly opened fire. But when it comes to the E. coli, they just say it has killed one person and it has led to at least 15 people being hospitalized. Nothing is alleged. Nothing may have. Nothing could be. It's all. Be afraid. Very afraid. There's something bad in your food. And here, and then that was November 22nd. And then on the 25th, again, from the widespread panic file. Now it's ABC, another organ of the aforementioned criminally insane sex cult that seized the government in 2020 and somehow is going to give it back in 2024. Color me skeptical. Anyway, now it's ABC, Oregon. They say an infant has died in a listeria outbreak. Is it alleged? No. No, no, no. An infant has died in a listeria outbreak. And then they go on with all the details and they name the company. They say 11 people were infected in four states in the outbreak. It was an outbreak. That's scary because, you know, last time we had an outbreak, we shut down and destroyed the world. And on the bright side, we did expose the insanity of the government schools. So a lot of parents got to see exactly what they were feeding their children into, as if they needed to have. Some of us have been screaming from the rooftops for 20 years, get your kids out of those places. But it took COVID. Well, thankfully, that was one of the good side effects of COVID. But here, back to the criminally insane Oregon here, ABC News. 11 people were infected in the outbreak, according to who? The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who we all know are above reproach. Is above reproach, right? The U.S. Centers. No, it's centers. It's plural. They are above reproach, of course, because we just know that. The infant, listen to this. As you go down through the story, you have to get to like the 17th paragraph in the story. The infant who died and his pregnant mother were both infected in the outbreak. Allegedly, no, they were infected. Now, the infant had a twin who also died, though listeria was not found in the twin. But nothing's alleged. We're certain of all of this. And the case of the twin who died was not included in the outbreak data, only the twin that is certain to have died of listeria, because a dead baby is, well, dead babies are effective in certain situations, and then in other situations, we avoid talking about them. But sometimes when you're an organ for the state pointing to a dead baby, when you're trying to whip people up into a hysteria and be afraid of eating their listeria-soaked What was this? Carrots? What was this? Oh, no, this was ready-to-eat chicken meat and poultry products. Ready-to-eat poultry. I don't do that myself. But anyway, I'm not going to name the company because, again, the only witness against these people are organs for the criminally insane government, so I'm not going to say. But the food company says the 11 cases were collected from 2021 to 2024. They say the 9 people only mentioned that they had visited Asian stores. They didn't name our company. And the mother, the one infant who died, the mother only mentioned that she ate our brand of products before she got sick. And so ABC News, the organ, allows the company to mount some sort of defense. But we should all be prepared for more stories about more outbreaks and as much widespread panic as possible. That's right. You're welcome back. And ready to eat chicken from an Asian store. I mean, I would cook it really well. Anyway.
Advice from an Asian.
What's that? Yeah, that's the advice from an Asian I know. She's like, if you're going to do that, really cook it. It's okay. Now, from there. From the widespread panic of Listeria, E. coli, Ebola, whatever's next, we go to the Weak Religion File, where the Wall Street Journal, who just told us about UFOs are real, by the way, they have a headline from today. No, is this today? December 1st, 2024. There you go. Sales of Bibles are booming, fueled by first-time buyers and new Bible versions. So it's a good news, bad news situation. First-time Bible buyers, that's always encouraging. And it does give us some insight into the mindset of people that things are strange, precarious, weird, scary. But perhaps it's always been thus. It's just that we're noticing it now more because it's just happening more in America. Which America is basically falling back into what most of the world has been for most of 5,000 years. It's a bunch of superstitious, hysterical, scared people having it lorded over them by tyrants. And so Bible sales are booming. We have the Wall Street Journal quotes. They quote Jeff, who's the president of Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. Jeff says people are experiencing anxiety themselves. They're worried for their children and their grandchildren. That's Jeff, the president of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. And he says, all of that feeds our desire. All of that feeds a desire for assurance that we're going to be okay. Says Jeff. So you can tell Jeff's never read the Bible, even though he's the president of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. Because if you... So the Bible's not just about us. And it certainly doesn't imply that everybody's going to be okay. Anyway. Let's see. That's Jeff. And now the Wall Street Journal also quotes a 28-year-old artist and influencer who streamed recently the purchase of her first Bible. She bought her first Bible from the She Reads the Truth line of Bibles. There's a line of Bibles called the She Reads the Truth line of Bibles. Can you imagine if you're a pastor and you tell people, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and and you find out that there are people in the pews who are reading a Bible from the She Reads Truth, the She Reads Truth line of Bibles, say that would just bother me, frankly. What does the influencer say as she streams herself purchasing a Bible? She says, "I've had Bibles that my mom gave me, but I felt I needed my own start to my own journey that symbolized I was starting a walk with God." So Jeff over at the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, he's talking about people who have anxiety about themselves, their children, their grandchildren. We want to know if we're going to be okay. The influencer says she wants my own start with my own journey to symbolize that I'm walking with God. So it seems a little self-centered to me. No matter which angle, whether it's the influencer or the president of the Evangelical Publishers Association, whatever that is. So let's go to a reverend. That's what we need. A reverend from the Presbyterian Church in Westchester says, "The Bible is a grand epic story of the great questions of life. What do we do with grief or anger? What are we here for? Where is the world going? The Bible provides a counterpart in a conversation about what we're doing at this time." So the reverend, he's obviously never read the Bible. So it provides a counterpart about what we're doing at this time. Most of the Bible is about what other people were doing at other times. If you've ever read it, you'll notice that, you know, like 90% of it is about other people. Long time ago, mostly. And as a counterpart, okay, well, he's a Presbyterian. What could you expect? Okay, in March, by the way, the Wall Street Journal reminds us Donald Trump endorsed the God Bless the USA Bible. That's an interesting story behind the God Bless the USA Bible. It was put on the market by Lee Greenwood. I remember when that song came out in the 1980s. God Bless the USA. And I remember thinking that's a good try, but it just doesn't work. That's not a real patriot song. Come on. It's not God Bless America, I'll tell you that. Okay? So anyway, I thought it was a relatively weak effort from Lee Greenwood. Number one, because he used USA, which that's just not. If you're doing patriotic, it's got to be America, not USA. But anyway, I thought it was weak back then, and now because the country has slipped back into tyranny and been feminized, and people think it's a great song, and he publishes a Bible. Now, he was going to publish it in the NIV version because he didn't even know there was another version. So none of them. They just wanted to publish it in the most popular version because they're about selling books. So Lee Greenwood goes, he tries to publish it, they find out it's Lee Greenwood, they think he's a conservative. So the Satanist and the child molesters and the weirdos and creeps over at Zondervan and HarperCollins, who control the NIV brand, they would not let Lee Greenwood license the NIV for his God Bless the USA Bible, and so Lee Greenwood settled for the King James Version because it's in the public domain. He doesn't have to ask anyone's permission, and he doesn't have to pay anyone a licensing fee. Lee Greenwood is willing to pay the criminally insane perverts at Zondervan and HarperCollins. He was willing to pay them a licensing fee to boost sales of his Bibles. So that's just embarrassing, that's all. And then Donald Trump, he endorsed it. He didn't even ask what version it was. He wouldn't know. All right. And so this is emblematic of how, well, I guess that doesn't really fit there. I'll wait. I don't want to depress anybody, but so let's go to the Swedish minister for gender equity. No, not gender equity, gender equality, whatever that is. What is gender equality? So, well, don't ask Paulina Brandberg over in Sweden because she's probably in a straitjacket right now. She's got an N95 and a straitjacket, and she's in a padded room because she's trying to work her way through a phobia of bananas. That's right. Paula, the Swedish minister for gender equality in, Sweden, said that she's getting professional help for what the minister calls a phobia of bananas. So apparently, concern has been rising since people have noticed that when her official staff visits to prepare the area for the appearance of Paulina, the grand Swedish minister for gender equality, they always sweep for bananas. That's right. They tell everyone there can be no bananas. There can be no smell of bananas. There can be no dishes or plates that recently had bananas on them because the minister for gender equality has a strong allergy. And then people realize that it's not an allergy. It's actually a phobia because it turns out she's not really allergic to bananas. She's just afraid of them. She has a banana phobia. She said it's sort of an allergy, she said. But it's not really an allergy because it's all in my head, but I'm getting professional help for it. Other politicians in the Swedish government are obviously defending her because some people are laughing at her and finding it somewhat ironic that the minister for gender equality has a phobia around a piece of fruit. It strikes some people as hilarious because if they didn't laugh, they would want to jump off a bridge. Especially if they're Swedish. The prime minister in Sweden professed to have great respect for people struggling with phobias, particularly fruit-based phobias, which we all know can be particularly damaging for women and minorities, of which the Swedish minister is both, because she's a woman and she's, people with banana phobias are definitely a minority. So she's doubly impacted by the impact of fruit-borne based phobias. Let's see here. We have a quote from the Prime Minister. We have a quote from the Prime Minister of Sweden. Says, it bothers me that a hardworking minister? How much hard work does the Minister for Gender Equality do? I mean, what's involved? Hoisting cocktails? The hardest thing she does is crack open a lobster tail. Anyway, he says it bothers me that a hardworking minister is now almost reduced to a phobia and that she's being ridiculed. It bothers him that she's being ridiculed. Another minister of parliament from the opposition party has since revealed that she also suffered from banana phobia.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Because why? Because she just had to make that up so everyone wouldn't think this other minister was a total freak and deranged. So she says, no, I had that too, but I've gotten over it because I got professional help. I suffered from it in the past, but I've mastered my fear of bananas. Banana phobia, I think that's it's either a new mental condition or it could be a girl band, banana phobia. Anyway, it turns out that ministering gender equality is madness. And so it tends to express itself in madness. It's like you can have here with Paulette. But now Jesse Smollett, you guys remember Jesse Smollett? He was the one who faked his own hate crime against himself back, I don't know how long ago it was. Seems like it was before COVID, which it's just an indication. Remember, even before COVID, things were pretty messed up. Well, his conviction has been overturned by the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois. And it's not because he didn't do it. That's not what the court says. They know he did it because, I mean, the evidence was overwhelming that he did it. But the court chose to turn over his conviction because the court found itself to have violated the deal that they had made with the criminal in order to pretend that he didn't do it. And so they had violated the deal that allowed them to all pretend he didn't do it. And then they ended up saying he did do it, which they promised they would never say he did it. And so in having made the deal to pretend, the court later stopped pretending and actually had a trial, and they found themselves to be in violation of their corrupt, immoral deal they had made to pretend he didn't do it. And that because this was all before peak woke. And so the court has ruled against itself. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us. It's good to have you back. It's good to be back, and all of this brings me back to where we talked about Jussie, and yeah, that's all embarrassing. But did you notice that Elon Musk posted recently that America is headed for bankruptcy, quote, super fast, unquote? That's a billionaire term when you're really smart. And you're ready to run the world and fix the government? Super smart. Okay. So he posts that America's headed for bankruptcy super fast, and he just happens to be an expert in electronic payments, and he happens to have his own cryptocurrency, and he's an expert in that area. And he happens to have become the richest man in the world, securing massive government contracts and massive government subsidies. And he went from being a leftist icon to a MAGA cheerleader at just the right time to be invited into the administration. And he leapfrogged over everyone who blood, sweat, and tears for Trump for 8 years. Elon Musk. Now, no one ever said Elon Musk was a dummy or that he wasn't a... Or that he wasn't an effective businessman, cunning, crafty. He's sharp, Elon Musk is. No one ever doubted that. But just color me suspicious of a godless, degenerate billionaire, charlatan, joining forces with a vulgar, left-wing, B-list celebrity from the 90s. They're going to save America? All right. And then now you throw RFK Jr. Does anyone remember that RFK Jr. is a rabid, froth-at-the-mouth, baby-killer communist? He's a communist! Nobody remembers that? We're supposed to just forget that he's a communist and a baby-killer? Okay. Because he's anti-vax. All right. Oh, and he's going to make us healthy again. Uh-huh. Color me unimpressed at the very least, suspicious at the very most. It's just a very surreal moment in American political history. And I just have the sneaking suspicion we're not in for anything like what we think we're in for. But we're definitely in for it.
Yeah.
For, you know, MAGA to me is... all the normal people, not the crazy leftists who still drive with the mask on in their Subaru. Not those people. We know what those people are like. That's the few dozen people who still watch MSNBC. We know who they are. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about normal people. MAGA to me is normal people celebrating the impending rule of serial adulterers, fornicators, and child killers. Because it's going to be so much better than the rule of the homosexual child molesters that we've been under. And I just can't celebrate either one. I can't. Now, I can pray for both. I can even pray for the criminally insane homosexual child molesters who are supposedly leaving office. I can even pray for them, and I can pray for Don, and I can pray for Elon, even pray for RFK. But I'm not going to celebrate. I'm not going to do the dance. No, I'm sorry, I can't do it. In fact, there's a lot more important things going on. I put up my response to Alex Alex O'Brien, the kid, the atheist kid, Alex O'Connor. O'Connor. I put up my response to Alex O'Connor, why Alex O'Connor doesn't trust the Bible, and I've had the opportunity to engage a number of his fans, other unbelievers, atheists, whatever you want to call them, whatever they call themselves. They're on their way straight to hell with jet rockets, and I had a chance to talk with them, which is always a good thing. Brian Newton commented on my response. He said, Doug, Jesus was part of this Godhead before he died. He is still part of this Godhead after being dead for less than a weekend. I would call that a minor inconvenience, says Brian Newton in response to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, frankly. He's not responding to me. It doesn't matter what I think. He said that about Jesus Christ. So I responded to Brian, until you are willing to be arrested around midnight, interrogated all night, and then at 6 a.m. suffer beating and scourging, and then hang nailed to a cross for 6 hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., your description of a minor inconvenience is invalid. And Brian, Jesus actually did it. And he did it with people like you in mind. People who would mock him and say what he did was just a minor inconvenience. The fact that he went to the cross, Brian, knowing the derision his enemies would hurl and still being willing to forgive them, is why he will be magnified above all men. His name will be put above all names, above all angels, above all principalities, above all powers, and why every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Brian, he is still willing to save you from what is certain death. That was my response to Brian. I've had a number of those on the YouTube channel, so that's very exciting and thrilling to have the opportunity to cross paths with people who are on their way straight to hell with jet rockets. Far more important than commenting on the MAGA dance or the statue. They're going to do a statue now of Trump shaking his fist. And that's all well and good. Hal Lindsey, I've got to address this quickly. Hal Lindsey, do you remember Hal Lindsey, he asked, is extremely attractive. She doesn't know. So I remember seeing Hal Lindsey's book in the passenger seat of my dad's car, probably around 1978. Hal Lindsey was the author of the best-selling book of the entire decade of the 1970s, the book titled The Late Great Planet Earth. It was the book about how we were certainly in the end times. Or we were right on the cusp of the end times. Hal was always, he always left a little bit of wiggle room. But he was always talking about the end times since I was a child. And Hal has died of old age at 95, and the end times have not yet started. Although for Hal, I guess that was the end times, for him in particular. Since none of the slobbering write-ups on Hal's life by all the so-called Christian and all the so-called conservative media outlets, since none of them are going to point out the obvious, we're going to do it here on the Weekly Worldview, because here on the Weekly Worldview, we say what other people are thinking. We just say it out loud, even when it's uncomfortable. Hal Lindsey made a career of obscuring the gospel, misrepresenting the Bible, and convincing gullible evangelicals that we were all certainly in the last days, and he did that since I was about 2 years old. And not one jot or tittle of his prophecy mongering was true. Not one. And his career should be a cautionary tale for anyone involved in Christian ministry. Don't do what Hal Lindsey did. Number one, because it's wrong. It's wrong to misrepresent the Bible. And it's likely that Hal is in heaven right now and extremely embarrassed. I think Hal was a Christian. And I liked a lot of the Bible commentary Hal did outside of his end times prophecy stuff, which he never recanted on. He kept moving the date. I remember he moved it into the 80s after the 70s didn't work out. You can't do that. So anyway, he suffers loss, and people think, well, how big of a deal is that? At least he made it to heaven. Well, remember when Paul tells us to about the judgment seat of Christ, which is the judgment seat for believers. He says that we should keep that in mind, knowing, quote, the terror of the Lord, unquote, which I don't want to have any part of that, whatever that is. I mean, not going to hell is great, but experiencing the terror of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, that doesn't sound good. And I think hell probably got some of that. Yeah. So there, the elephant in the room has been dispatched regarding Hal Lindsey, which means we can move on. CIA, we go to the CIA, where a CIA official was finally charged, whatever that means. I think that means they took his BlackBerry away and he's still getting paid. So Asif Rahman works for, I don't like that. I don't like having Asif Rahman working for the CIA. Oh, but Doug, we've got to have natives who speak the language. No, I don't want those. I say make Jeff and Frank learn Arabic and I don't know, put some shoe polish on them and send them over. So at least I want a guy whose grandparents were born here, if he's Arab. I want a guy whose grandparents were born here. And he's red, white, and blue. And I don't know. Anyway, I don't like that. Call me a racist if you want to. So I've got a, let's see, a retired Israeli Defense Force Brigadier General Amir Avivi. I wonder if the Israeli Defense Force allows first-generation Arabs to join the IDF. Maybe they do. I know they put women in combat. They're very proud of the fact that they had women on the front lines who were kidnapped, assaulted, and some of them beaten to death on October 7th. They're very proud of that they had women on the combat front lines there. So maybe they do let first-generation Arabs in. I don't know. I would have to check. But anyway, the IDF Brigadier General, retired, says this is very bad for U.S.-Israel relations. We need to be able to trust them. And the files that were leaked were only meant to be seen by those with proper clearance in the U.S. and other members of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance. Are you familiar with the Five Eyes, he asked. It's different than the Hindu eye, right? Is it the Hindus who have the third eye deal?
Yeah, it's
a different deal. It's different than the band. There's a band, Third Eye Blind. That's different. The Five Eyes are the United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. They are the intelligence apparatus that has kept the peace for the better part of 80 years since World War II. And then, of course, Israel is actually the sixth eye, but nobody talks about the sixth eye because the Jews are better at intelligence than anybody else. So it's as if they don't even exist, and they're the biggest eye of all. But anyway, now the Five Eyes, they're not the Five Eyes. They're the five guys passed out in the bathroom in the back of the club because the children running the criminally insane cult our children. Okay, so now we go to townhall.com, one of the official organs of MAGA, townhall.com, another one being Newsmax, official organs of MAGA. That's right. Town Hall, Breitbart, and Newsmax are the three organs of MAGA. And I'm not comfortable with organs, that's all. I mean, I don't need an organ speaking for the Trump administration to balance MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and yada yada. I know who all they are. I know who they are. They're a bunch of degenerate communist scum. They're an organ for the leftists who've been trying to take my country down for my entire life. I know exactly who they are. I don't need MAGA employed and MAGA written organs. But here we go. Town Hall. They got the headline. Trump's plan to purge the Pentagon of woke brass. That's what MAGA wanted, was that headline. Nothing else matters. Because when you read the story, you find out the Trump's considering a draft order to establish a warrior board. So they wanted that one too. A warrior board. That's what we need. A warrior board. It's going to be made up of retired senior military personnel. You know who that is? That's people who came up through the military, through Barack Obama, through Joe Biden. You go back a 20-year career, that's Barack Obama. A little bit of George W. Bush, whatever. They're lifer military. They're never gonna purge anything of anyone because they don't do that. They say they're going to purge generals and admirals found to be lacking in requisite leadership qualities. Which is, that's newspeak for we're not going to actually do any of this. because none of them will be found to have met that. The president-elect says he has a vow to fire, quote, woke generals. But it doesn't say woke. It says lacking in required leadership qualities. So that means nobody will be purged. The town hall reminds us Trump can fire any officer at his will. But instead, he's floating an outside board because this is all made up. It's make-believe and it's never going to happen. And it was really just done for the headline. Kind of like this one. This one came out in Newsmax, the other MAGA organ last week. Trump to purge military of trans members. That was on November 25th. Then on November 29th, Newsmax, the same organ, runs the headline, Trump team dismisses report on trans military ban. because Newsmax is just an organ of whatever it is that's in the process of managing the next phase of Americans' decline. And it's not conservative, and it's certainly not Christian, and it's certainly not anything that I can jump up and do a dance about. Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for hanging with us through almost the whole show now, although I could go on for quite some time because I haven't been on for, it's been like 3 weeks. It's been a long time. So let's go to, no, we're not going to, no, I only have, I have other things that I need to get to. We go to the World War III file from the Breitbart organ. The Federal Aviation Administration officials in November banned all flights to Haiti for 30 days following three gun attacks on planes flying into the capital of Port-au-Prince. Gun attacks? Is this a new phrase for out of journalism school? What's a gun attack? Gun attacks? Okay, I mean, are we all in second grade? What in the world is going on with reporting? Okay, so there have been three gun attacks.
Okay.
American Airlines confirmed that one of its planes was hit by gunfire after taking off down there in Port-au-Prince. American Airlines reported bullet damage. Bullet damage? That must come from a gun attack. They say the bullet damage was discovered during a post-flight inspection. Spirit Airlines and JetBlue reported that their planes were struck by bullets.
Oh,
Spirit Airlines. If you're on a Spirit Airlines flight, you've already taken your life into your hands. And you go into Port-au-Prince for crying out loud. That's dangerous. That's scary. There's bullets, bullet damage, gun attacks. And then there's just the way they treat you getting on the plane at Spirit. That's if the plane's even there. Spirit said a flight attendant suffered minor injuries that may have been related to a gun attack or bullet damage, or she may have just been so depressed about working at Spirit Airlines that she was involved in some sort of self-harm. We're not sure. No, they say the flight she was on was diverted after it was hit by gunfire. A JetBlue plane landing at JFK also discovered a bullet impact. A bullet impact? That could have come from Brooklyn. You're landing at JFK. How do you know that was from Port-au-Prince? All right. Anyway, bottom line, don't fly to Haiti. As if you needed that, right, as a travel warning.
Spirit.
So, yeah, don't fly on Spirit. Don't fly to Haiti. I think we already had those covered. Meanwhile, from the deranged file, the New York Post reported on November 22nd that a California judge has granted an estranged ex-wife of Jeff Younger, the estranged ex-wife being one Ann Georgilis, the authority to castrate 12-year-old James Younger, Jeff and Ann's son. So Anne has been granted the authority to castrate her 12-year-old son, and it seems like she's going to do it. This is I've been following this story for the better part of a couple of years, maybe longer. This was the father and the mother. They got divorced because they're both a couple of selfish, self-absorbed failures and losers. So they got divorced. And then they got to fighting over the kids. The wife is wanting to transgender the son. And I can't tell if the transgendering and the deranged psychopathic behavior of the wife led to the divorce, or if it was just that they weren't growing anymore. I don't know what the deal was, why they got divorced. But after they got divorced, they go to court to see who can have the kids. And turns out she wants to castrate the kids, so the judge doesn't rule that she's insane. This is in Texas. The judge gives them joint custody, which means nobody knows what it means because it's all insanity. And then Gavin Newsom signed a law in October of 2022 just to get this kid. Gavin Newsom signed a law to get this kid. He pushed it through the Congress there in California and signed it so that this mom could move to California with this particular kid, and she did. And now a California judge has awarded her full custody, and so, I don't know, I guess now she gets out the butcher knife and it's time. Anyway, the father, Jeff Younger, says, "Let my story be a cautionary one for young men. Fathers have no rights to their children." Well, that's not really true, Jeff. Fathers who love God and love their wives as Christ loved the church enjoy all the rights and privileges of fatherhood. They have all the rights in the world to their kids. So Jeff's story is a cautionary tale. If you live your life as a phony baloney cultural Christian in your phony baloney Orthodox church with all your phony baloney religious paraphernalia and rituals and superstition, but in actuality, you're just a selfish humanist and you end up in a godless divorce, well, you lose the rights to your children. So that is a cautionary tale. Hopefully for Jeff. I mean, I saw the picture of him. Like, he has a picture of himself bowed in front of an Orthodox priest dressed up like a space alien. I don't know. I mean, how bad does life have to kick you in the teeth before you actually humble yourself and ask God to forgive you? I mean, hopefully Jeff has. I hope so. But he makes no mention of any of that in public. Just the picture with the priest. Me personally, I mean, maybe his lawyers have told him, don't talk about God. That'll make it even worse. As if he has a chance, right? Even in Texas, they wouldn't give him the kids. The mother's a deranged lunatic with a knife, with scalpel. Who can comprehend any of this? So there's something for that. There's a test of MAGA right there. Is what are they going to do about this with the woman with the psychopathic woman with the bulging eyes and the scalpel with the 12-year-old, 10-year-old? Okay, let's see. All right, now from there we go to reason number 1254 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The government school that you're about to send your kid to is part of a $3 billion school security industry. That's right, there's a whole industry around the fear and paranoia of your child being shot at school. That should be a red flag. We're scared enough to be spending $3 billion a year. Let's see here. The CBS reports, in just the last four years, school shootings have killed more than 200 people and injured more than 600, according to a CBS News analysis of the K-12 school shooting database, which is all capitalized, which means it's a proper name, which means somebody is maintaining a K-12 school shooting database, which means you should get your kids out of the government schools. Why? Well, there's a K-12 school shooting database that we have to keep, that's bad. Schools are spending hefty amounts on products like surveillance monitoring, powered by artificial intelligence, and collapsible safe rooms. Uh-huh. The collapsible safe room is the brainchild of contractor Kevin Thomas. It's a brilliant solution, a collapsible, expandable safe room, a floor-to-ceiling, bullet-resistant, and roomy enough room for 30 students. So it's a giant bulletproof, like, tents that spring out in the middle of... What, do you keep it in a pod in the middle of the classroom, just in case? I'll bet they do. And he's probably selling these for... I mean, God bless America, I suppose, but... Would be that there were no market for the floor-to-ceiling bullet-resistant. I mean, you gotta laugh. And then there's they report on Zero Eye security cameras powered by AI beaming images to central command. Software flags suspicious images. Workers are then able to dispatch authorities with the press of a button. Am I living in a dystopian novel? What is this? Workers dispatch authorities with the press of a button after. It's just creepy weird. So $3 billion industry and a hellscape description of life in the government schools is the result of, well, that's the alternative to just teaching kids that there's a God, which is free. Telling them the gospel at an early age, which is free. And then homeschooling is cheap. It's not free, but, well, it costs you one income. So I suppose there is, for some people, that's a significant investment. But you can figure it out. It's definitely not $3 billion a year. And you don't have to invest in a pop-up bulletproof safe room, ever. But, you know, you have to buy some books and stuff. Rent some DVDs. So there are cheaper alternatives. Now, bulldozing the government schools, that would be expensive, but it would be a one-time expense. So, and then you'd get all that good recycled red brick. Can you imagine how much beautiful recycled red brick you'll get when we bulldoze all the government schools? Most of the old schools are made of that beautiful red brick that looks so lovely when you recycle it and for you know, all your home remodeling projects. That would be another side benefit of bulldozing. Now, from there, we go to the Liberty Daily, where U.S. automakers are in a bit of a pickle because MAGA wants to remove all the EV mandates of the psychopathic maniacs who've been working day and night to destroy the country. That's right. They've mandated, I forget, some insane amount of cars have to be electric. They've said to all the major manufacturers, you will make 30% of your cars will be electric by whatever. All these insane mandates. And everybody wants MAGA to come in and overturn them. But now the car companies are saying, wait, maybe don't. They're saying that we're too far. We've invested too much money. And if you overturn them now, then we're going to have to fight against competitors who haven't had to make all these insane investments and gone along with all this insanity. And so the government now is being lobbied to protect the giant car companies who've gone along with all this. And so is there not a price to pay for going along with all this? Like maybe you end up out of business? Because you took the knee, you bent the knee instead of standing up and saying no and taking a risk for what's right. Instead, you went along with it, and now you want Donald Trump to come in and protect you from low-cost competitors who might be able to produce lower internal combustion cars than you can because you stupidly invested in all this electronic stupidity. I think they should be driven out of business. Yes, they should be forced to suffer the consequences of their cowardice and their stupidity. If you want to live by government regulations and bailouts, Mr. Ford, Mr. General Motors, Chrysler isn't even Chrysler anymore. It's Stellantis. What is that? Stellantis. That sounds like something out of a dystopian hellscape novel. Hi, we're Stellantis. We make cars. Anyway, that's just creepy. They all want, they want Trump to step in now and keep the rules going. Force other car companies who might want to compete, force them to do all these stupid things. So this is another test of MAGA. If Trump and his team doesn't overturn the EV mandates, then you know that this is all smoke and mirrors and that we're all being had. Is there any chance that we're all being had? Do you think there's a possibility of that? Well, having lived as long as I have, my brief sojourn on this planet, I think there's a pretty good chance that we're all being had. That's all. And in fact, listen to this. How do I know this might be true? I just reported on Hal Lindsey, who died of old age, making a comfortable living, predicting the end of the world. His books being bought by smart, intelligent, level-headed, hardworking, red, white, and blue patriotic Americans. The people who bought Hal Lindsey's books were not idiots. And so here we go to Based Underground, where Michael Snyder, who is a perpetual end times hysteric, I wonder how old he is. We should put a timer on Michael Snyder, see how long it takes before he dies of old age and the world goes on. Anyway, his headline this past week, "We are the Book of Revelation generation." Maybe he heard Hal Lindsey pass from the scene and he's just going to step right in there and ride the gravy train. Anyway, here's what Michael Snyder says. "What is it going to take for people to finally start waking up?" I think that's Hal Lindsey's opening line for almost all of his articles. He says, most people don't seem alarmed. He said, we've got Russians, we've got Ukraine, we've got the Middle East. Jesus specifically warned us that the days just before his return would be a time of wars and rumors of wars. Wait a second. And so if you have half a brain and you've read your Bible, you stop right there and you're like, well, hold on a second. Is that what Jesus said? So I went and checked just because it struck me as odd. And he's quoting Matthew 24, verse 6, so which you can also find in Mark 13 and Luke 21. You will not find this in Revelation, by the way. Wars and rumors of war, it's not in Revelation. Anyway, Matthew 24, 6, Jesus says, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The wars and rumors of wars, he says, don't be troubled. Michael Snyder says, people aren't too concerned. Well, maybe that's because Jesus said, don't be troubled. The end is not yet. But everyone hears wars and rumors of wars, and they think, oh, that's it, this is end times. When the Bible specifically says it's not. Anyway. No, I don't want to beat a dead horse. But Michael Snyder says, if you haven't figured out that we are living in a time of wars and rumors of wars by now, I don't know what to say. Okay, well, I have figured it out, Mike. I have figured it out, and there's really nothing you need to say, because I already read this part that Jesus said. All right. Let's see here. We're the Book of Revelation generation. He quotes Matthew. I'm just pointing that out. Okay, just in case you're paying attention. And then more sensational headlines and ads for survival food on the website here where I was reading this. Had to go through all the buy gold, buy stock beef, buy freeze-dried corn and rice and peas and beans. All that shelter, underground shelters, bunkers you can buy, all of that. Bible prophecy is playing out right in front of our eyes, Mike says. And yet most of the population is still in a very deep state of sleep. And he wants you to wake up and buy his latest book. All right. And so that's it for the Weekly Worldview. We'll keep our eyes on MAGA. We'll keep our eyes on the Bible and all of that stuff and things that really matter. Thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.